Ontario, or where are you based, Adams?
I'm in Toronto.
Okay, so you're dealing with the lockdown and all that shit again.
Yeah, we can talk about that too, because it's not really a lot. I mean, it's a lockdown. It's like, go ahead and stay at home. And, oh, it's a stay-at-home order. But we're not going to enforce it. So just, you know, do your best. Words without actions, buddy. Words without actions.
Yeah, I saw your post about Tom Ford and all that stuff. I wasn't sure if you were actually based there or just kind of, because you share stories obviously all over the world, but yeah, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's the problem I think that a lot of us are having. I don't think it's just here. I think it's in the States. I think it's magnified in the States. The how do you please everybody and save lives? You can't. You just fucking can't, unfortunately. Yeah, like there's got to be some teeth to this.
Well, I'm always talking about people. Like if 2 years ago you or I feel sick, we're supposed to go to dinner, I would have the common courtesy to be like, hey, man, I might have the flu. I'm not going to have dinner. Let's reschedule. Out of respect to you, I don't want you to get sick, but we've lost that disconnect as human beings to kind of have that kind of ethical whatever. This just fucking ghastly on a fire. And you're right. You can't. People have small businesses and jobs, but you also have family. It's just the whole thing's fucked up.
Well, I think it's a priority thing, right? Like you say, the whole thing's fucked up. And that's if you want to pinpoint it, it comes down to truth and priorities, right? Like I don't need to be coerced or convinced that staying at home is a great thing for me. I really don't. I'm fully capable of understanding the science. I source fact-based information. And then I make decisions on how I'm going to live my life as opposed to what's in the best interest for me. It's how do I stop helping this disease spread? How do I not become an agent or a factor in this thing being worse? And so that's how I approach it. The arguments and the anger on the outside from people saying this is taking away our freedoms. It is. It absolutely is, for a very fucking good reason. There's a virus that's killing millions of people, and it's not stopping, and it's evolving, and we're getting different strains of this whole thing. And it really just comes down to a couple of simple choices people have to make. But because of, you know, the atmosphere largely driven by Trump and that age of misinformation, the ability to mobilize or weaponize bad information, we're here. We're here in Canada for the exact same reasons. It is fucking wild to me.
Yeah, it's the Wild West, baby.
Yeah, it really is. J.M. Guarnieri is our guest, host of Spear Talk, the podcast. You had Flash Gordon on your last podcast. Is that right? Did I see that?
I recorded with him yesterday. And are we live right now?
Yeah. No, awesome. We're not live right now. We're recording, but we're going to go live in a minute.
Awesome. Yeah. So the funny thing about Sam Jones, I reached out to him. And if people noticed, I reach out to, it's very specific why I reach out to certain people, whether it's an actor that portrayed a character that resonated with me as a youth, which kind of led me to be the person I am today. So with Flash Gordon, I always loved the idea that guy just, he's the first superhero I remember. I don't know if you guys read like the pulp comics from like the 30s, 40s, but he was the first non like superhuman strength, he has like this weird mutant ability. He's just a normal guy who's in great shape. And I resonated with that character. But so I reached out to him. Yeah, sure. Well, I didn't know he was a U.S. Marine. I didn't know he wanted to play for the Seattle Seahawks as a football player. And I also didn't know for the last 20 years, he has a ton of certs and training in executive protection. It actually watches people in Mexico in these crazy places down there doing executive protection with safe houses and stuff. And so just talking to people like that about stuff that they're not, a lot of times they, especially actors I've noticed, or TV show personalities, it's always about what they're doing movie-wise, show-wise. But I like talking about like the career, like the mental health aspect, or like ideas of just like teamwork or isolation, or it's just very fascinating talking to people about stuff they're not used to talking about.
Yeah.
Themselves.
Yeah, especially him. I mean, Flash Gordon, other than the Ted movies, we haven't heard from him in a very, very long time, right? And so it's
right.
You find out what they've been up to, and it's crazy that he actually went into personal protection after being Flash.
And his certifications, I know all the trade schools, I know all the stuff.
He's legit.
No, it's just so fascinating because I'm not usually my guests don't really know, like they get security, but they don't get like like the background I have. And so they're kind of, they don't really ask the questions, but hearing him, there are a couple times where I'm kind of like sit back and I go, man, not only am I talking to fucking Flash Gordon, but this guy is knowing the same type of classes and training I know. It's just very, very thought provoking. It was a really good one.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Your fucking podcasts are on fire, by the way. They're huge.
It's
fun, weird, man. Because you take this side door to conversations that not many people do. Like it's almost like for you, it's a process. It's not about just reaching out to guys and hoping they join you. You're like, oh, I'm interested in that. Let's go get that guy. And it's fascinating because you have a different angle that you take into all your podcasts. I love it.
Yeah, and everyone I've reached out to, I've never had a no answer back. And I don't know if it's because I'm very specific what I want to talk about. It's not the generic, oh, let's talk about this new movie or TV show. Like, who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. And so everyone I've reached out to, they've all said yes. And I've got a couple I haven't like announced yet, but I'm just like, these are like fucking like pillars of my youth. And like, people know these people. And it's just cool to talk with these people and kind of get cool information out. And I know you and I have talked before about it, but all my guests, I'm slowly, I have this weird, not weird, but I'm always into like those games where you have to like intermingle stuff and connect everything. All my guests are connected in some way or another. And eventually people are going to realize like, holy shit, I had no idea that this is all connected. And you can kind of start seeing it when I do like the guest where it's two people talking, but I have this big picture in my head where it's like after certain number of episodes or I get the people I want, you're going to be like, holy shit, this is one big puzzle.
Yeah.
That's what's fun about it.
Yeah. You can kind of see it taking shape. It's about protection. It's about security. It's about facts, which we'll talk about today. And it's about people doing things with their lives. You know, it's interesting, whether it's animal protection, personal protection, and you get into, you know, you get into to the mental part of the job as well, which I think is great. J.M. Guarnieri is our guest. He's the host of the Spear Talk podcast, former Secret Service agent to Barack Obama, like 8 years in Secret Service, 8 or 10.
Yes, yeah, seven, just over seven. It was 2008 to 2014.
Yeah. What did you make of what happened? How do you, as a former Secret Service agent, process an insurrection? Because I'm sitting there watching it last week on the 6th, because I'm interested in the electoral vote. I thought, oh, this would be interesting. And you know that people are going to kind of loiter around. We'd heard rumblings and rumors of, you know, an insurrectionist or guys marching. And you knew that there was, do they call it the ellipse? Is that what they call it? They had the big rally.
Basically, on the outside, the south side of the lawn, which is in between the White House and the Washington Monument.
Right. So that's where they have this rally. And then, you know, you got Rudy Giuliani saying, trial by combat, let's hit it. You got Mo Brooks going, hey, everybody, let's go kick some ass and take some names. And then you got Trump going, let's go streaking. Follow me. Let's show strength and let's go tell us. As you're watching this with your background as a Secret Service agent, take me through your experience. Like, what you're watching this unfold from then till now. Like, how have you processed this and what the fuck happened?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I was watching it because a lot of people don't realize that the process is being played on TV, whether it's the January 6th, the electoral votes, or not the electoral votes, but yeah, they basically, like, the electors. Hey, confirm the state votes, vice president, whatever. That process has never changed since it first started. It's only on TV and stuff now because of the idea of maybe there was election fraud. It's just been polarized. And I think part of the program is the media blowing this up. But that process has never changed. Just to get that out there, that happens every same time frame, same everything. It's just now, everything's under scrutiny in the last, what feels like 4 or 6 years, because no one trusts each other, misinformation, all that stuff. The actual speeches, I heard different pieces and stuff, and I know that a lot of it is hyperbole. When I liken it to when you're like high school coaches and college coaches that would give you like a halftime speech, you're like, man, we're going to kick this team's ass, we're going to run on that field, we're going to take names. If on the outside, you hear and you're like, man, they're going to kill this team. For me personally, when I hear someone say, we're going to go march, we're going to make a stand, I know that doesn't mean me take arms and destroy property, set fires, break in. The problem is certain people on both sides hear rhetoric from whoever's they're following, and they take that, they don't, and I don't mean this as a slight, but some people aren't smart enough to realize that, hey, these are just words, and this is type of like ooh-rah type mentality. That doesn't actually mean do what storm or kill or throw Molotovs or it's just, the whole thing is just very fascinating. But the actual act of, let me tell you, I'm going to go right here. I know everyone's seen White House Down, Olympus Has Fallen, all those movies where stuff happens.
Independence Day.
Right. I mean, I don't know if we can stop aliens yet, but the idea of anyone actually going to the White House like that would never happen. I'm going to tell you right now, it would never happen. So the Capitol is the same way. The Capitol police have their own system.
You wouldn't be able to get that close. You wouldn't be able to get that close to the White House. So
no, like, you would have canine snipers. You would have people you would think aren't even cops coming up to you that look like homeless people.
Because that's what I got out of part of one of the things I got out of watching the idiots storm the castle. And thank God they're all stupid. I mean, you said it nicely. You don't want to speak poorly, but you said there's smarter people that were involved in the process that didn't do what those people did. By and large, to believe anything that comes out of that yoke's mouth, in my opinion, you have to be a certain kind of dumb. Like you can't have the intellectual quotient of an average person and believe the election was rigged for four straight years. Like you just can't. And you can't believe in the QAnon, like everything that comes with it, which we'll get into. That's my opinion. So good thing they were dumb, number one. But, and you say no one could get into the White House, but what came out of that was, fuck, you know what? I just instantly kind of assumed that those places are impossible to even get close to if you're an average human being.
I'll tell you this. Before this happened, you could not get on the Capitol steps without farting and having a police dog hit on you. And so watching, and I'm literally texting buddies that were Capitol Police or still Capitol Police that weren't there that day. And I'm like, man, this is almost like comical, like pre-planned. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you don't, I've been there so many times, but if I walked in there with you right now in the main door, not some weird window they broke out, and I would take me 10 minutes to be like, okay, this is where we got to go to get to where these people were that quickly. That's how intricate and insane that place is. So when you're watching the videos of them going up the stairs or then breaking into the chamber, you're kind of like, man, even with my training, I couldn't get in there as quick as they did. So it makes you kind of wonder. And then this morning, I was watching CNN. I mean, I hate the news, but sometimes I watch it just to get pissed off. And there's the FBI came out and said,
that's why everybody watches it right now, buddy. Can't stop watching it. And we're so emotionally attached that we hope it drives an emotional narrative for us. Anyway, go ahead.
No, and then the FBI came out and said, well, this looks like it was a pre-planned attack from 2 weeks ago. And so they're like, well, everyone's saying, well, Trump's speech said this. Well, it's like, well, now some people are like, well, it's a speech before this. Part of my problem is take out the speech, take out everything like this. If these people who are all idiots were able to kick in windows with police presence there, you knew this date was coming. Like, why wouldn't you have the numbers there? It's really makes you think. I sound like I'm putting on like a tinfoil hat, but I look at it is for my training and what I know.
Who helped
them? It was way too easy. Like, okay, right. So that's my question.
Yeah.
And then you have the stuff like QAnon, which I love a good conspiracy theory. I wish half this stuff was true just because I want to see people in this world just blow up. But you're kind of like, why? It's just, I don't know, man. It's.
Well, now listen, let's take your military background. Let's take your 7 years of service to your country as a Secret Service agent into account. You know the Capitol building better than anybody that I'm going to have on a podcast. And you just said, listen, to go where they needed to go to get where they needed to get to, that's impossible to do, even if you have an intricate understanding of the building. So in your as you kind of do process of elimination, as you're trained to do it, to look for cause, right? That's what you guys do. You go, okay, let's knock this off the list, this off. And what are we left with? You're left with really the very silently loud thinking that these insurrectionists had some help from congressmen, senators, military people. There were a lot of military people they picked up in that sting yesterday.
A lot of law enforcement too.
A lot of law enforcement, even Secret Service agents that were passing information. That's now part of the universe of discussion. It's not, I have no proof of that. I'm just telling you from legitimate.
Right.
And you've heard the same things, right? Is that really kind of where we're at? Is okay? Well, you know, from your limited or very extensive knowledge of military training and protection, everything that goes into those buildings, how everything works, is there any other solution other than these insurrectionists had some fucking help from people?
Yeah, that's the problem. The people that broke in there did what they want and. Idiots, and I don't know any of them. I'm not a name caller, but that mentality is very. I'm not into protesting riots. I don't care what your cause is. I'm not gonna ever be there unless I have to work it. But it's, I don't know. It's just very okay. So you're at your house or your apartment or you're at a family gathering, and people surround your house and start breaking in. I'm gonna bet my life. You're going to take down all those people before they even step foot in that house or die trying. Mm-hmm. If you're a sworn officer or an agent and they're coming into the White House or Capitol, they're illegally trusted. They're not allowed to be in there. You do your job, your training, you articulate your reasoning for deploying OC spray baton or your firearm. You don't let these people get in there. And I don't know if the training changed where now you're afraid of your job, which I think this past summer with law enforcement and stuff, people, some law enforcement, just talking to them and knowing how they think, you're always under scrutiny. Even when you're doing the right thing, you kind of quarterback yourself in the heat of the moment and be like, well, maybe I shouldn't do my job here. Because then what if I kill all these people? So now you let them in. But you're still kind of like, those people, if I'm there, they're breaking into my house, they're not getting 2 feet in that door. I'll kill every single person that tries to break into my house. These guys systematically just came in doors and offices, stealing stuff off the walls. I mean, it's just.
By the way, they took a shit. They took a shit in a whole bunch of offices too, and smeared it on the walls. I found that particularly interesting. It was like all the people that were really upset and rightfully so. I mean, they're running for their fucking lives. They come back to their offices to right wing turds sitting on their boardroom desks. There is a disgustingness to it that which is part of the narrative, but I always go back to what you're talking about, which is, you know, there had to be more people involved in government that wanted this to happen, that were enabling some of these guys. You know, this Ali Alexander guy. Do you know who he is?
Yes, I know of. Yes,
insurrectionist. He came out and did this massive fucking post. Yesterday he's like, hey, listen, I worked with Mo Brooks, I worked with this Gosar guy, these Republican congressmen on, you know, plans, how to get into the building, all that stuff. How does that make a law enforcement person feel? How did, like, you've talked to these guys, Capitol Police, some guys that were or were not working, how do they feel about what happened?
Yeah, it goes down to if your higher ups are, I'm not saying corrupt, I'll just say it, but if your higher ups don't care what you're doing or they're corrupt or they don't care about your job or livelihood, how are you supposed to do your job if you don't have the support from the top up? Mm-hmm. And it's very, you don't know how to believe. It's the disinformation, it's the information. Now, if I don't like Trump and I want to make him look even worse, if I have the potential to help him look really, really bad, why wouldn't I get people to break into the Capitol on the day they're voting the elector? So you're kind of like, it's all
because it's illegal. Conspiracies.
Right. No, 100%. And the part of it is it's a lot of conspiracy theory stuff and it's a lot of just weird, just thinking. But if you break down the fundamental aspect of it, it's breaking and entering. Now, I don't care if you're going to the Capitol because Trump said you did, or you're at a Black Lives Rally, man, and you're throwing Molotovs at cops or burning down businesses in your city. I don't get that thinking. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that does. I don't care what cause you have. There is a civil way to gather and protest, and it doesn't involve violence, trespassing, killing, hurting. And it just, that's what makes me really sad for the human race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was sad to watch. In Canada, it was sad to watch, right? We look at America like the place to be, and not so much when they got fucking travel advisory saying, hey, don't go there. It's like a third world country because of the insurrection. Like, that's what happens when in third world countries. You know, there's the coups that you see on TV that you go, fuck, that's never going to happen here. And it happened, you know, and yeah. I think that's the really disturbing part. So Washington, I'm reading today, 25,000 National Guard troops. For anybody that doesn't think that's a big number, there are more people in D.C. right now protecting the Capitol building and protecting the White House and the exchange of government than there are in Afghanistan. So what's happening, like, what, from a tactical perspective, what are they doing in and around the buildings to make that place safe right now?
Well, to step back, I'm glad there's more people here than in Afghanistan. That's great for us because at least the men and women are home, and it's a different type of thing to do it. But the physical aspect is a lot of perimeters, barricades, roadblocks, road checks, ID checks, which is pretty. I've done two elections, and well, the last major one I did would be 2007, the Obama, and the same roadblocks were there, the same searches. Whenever you have a list of people who have access to whatever building they're trying to get to. If you're just driving through the city or you work in like a sandwich shop or restaurant, you have different protocols now leading up to it. In the sense of your car has to park a certain different place away, and all the trash cans you picked up because you can't put bombs in the trash cans. There is a higher heightened police presence now, obviously, because of what just happened. And I think the perimeter is a little bit out just to kind of help with more control of the situation inside. But the same stuff above, FAA regulations, no fly zones, all that stuff is still in place. It's always been. It's fascinating. It's an incredible process. I'm glad to be able to, not the actual election itself or the process of changing. It's very, I hate it when you work and deal with it because you're dumb to it. You're like, I hate all these people. Mm-hmm. But saying I was took part in that stuff.
You've really made that clear, JM. Right. You really don't like politics and politicians.
Right. It sucks. But you to see the process, it's a really cool process. I don't think I'd recommend people go down this time, but just to see, like, it's a cool thing when it's civil, when it's there's no fighting. Yeah, left versus right, Democrat, Republican, elephants versus donkey, like who gives a shit? You can still be a good person, respect the process.
But isn't this different a little bit? Like,
yeah, well, you have 75 million people that agree with one side. So
yeah, but they agree with, but not all 75 million are that crazy. Like, that's my point.
Right.
Is that the craziest of the crazies, the dumbest of the crazies that are doing this kind of stuff. And now the FBI put out a warning this morning that basically said there are going to be insurrectionists in 50 different states looking for trouble. There's a massive white supremacist movement. They're mobilizing to somehow get to the inauguration. Like, is it even possible in my mind, knowing the parameters that they've set up, and they've got snipers on every building looking for guys in Fred Perry shirts? Is it even possible for those guys to get close, according to what you know?
I mean, if we see anyone cosplaying like a Yeti or a Yak by the Capitol next week, we have real issues. And all joking aside, before last week, hell no. But you're kind of like, who do you trust now? Mm-hmm. Like, who do you, because you look at some of the videos and stuff from social media, and obviously it's whatever, but there are law enforcement there opening gates to the Capitol.
Yeah.
There are people not maintaining the perimeter. And now, is that a call where, again, I'm not there, that for the officer's safety, hey, redeploy back and harden up the Capitol? Well, that still didn't happen. So I don't know. It sucks because you're not there. You want to believe that everyone's doing their job or trying to do the right thing. But
because this is the first time you mentioned that, this is the first time in my life, and I'm 47, that I can remember thinking, you know, I'm watching Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the people walk out, Congress walk out after they impeached Dick Farm Don yesterday. And they have Secret Service, Capitol Police lined as they walk, so no one can get to them. Like, absolutely no one. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's great. But what happens if one of those guys that's lined up has been radicalized by Trump, by the misinformation, by the lies, because that's really kind of, you talked about. That's sort of where I'm at is like, you know, if that happened that day, how do you, like, have they not just gone and rooted every single one of these guys out according to their Facebook profiles?
Yeah. Part of the, when I was there, like, you could never show party affiliation. Like, if you, when you drive at most, if you worked at the White House, you'd park on the Ellipse. And, but you couldn't have a bumper sticker that said, I love Obama or go John McCain, or you couldn't show any party affiliation. Right. If you're working out in the gym, like everything you do while there, you have no party affiliation. And your social media, you can't be going out there saying, I'm coming, I'm going to throw a brick at the White. Like, you can't, they'll find it.
I was of the opinion that you could never threaten the life of a president or a vice president. Like, you know, to say, I hope the president dies. I'm sure a lot of people do. I would never tweet that, because the last thing I want to do is be put on.
Well, here's the thing. People that do tweet that.
Yeah.
They get investigated. The Secret Service will go right to their door.
Doesn't seem like it. That's why we have what we had yesterday. I mean, those guys were plastered all over social media talking about how they were going to execute Mike Pence. And they brought a fucking gallows, a homemade gallows to the lawn. And they put it up that's my question. It doesn't seem like it.
Well, again, look at Twitter. They deplatform certain politicians on one side of it. And we don't have to talk politics, but if you deplatform one side, you've already mentally affected and disenfranchised that side that thinks their voice doesn't matter now because you don't want to hear their thing. Now, the argument should be, or there's no argument, if there is hate speech, racism, homophobia, anything like that, whoever says it, deal with them, get rid of them. They don't deserve to even have a voice.
Right.
But just because you think differently, if I'm Republican, you're a Democrat, or vice versa, and I think one way about how agriculture should be affected with the GDP, and you think another way, I'm not going to say, fuck you, I hate you. Like, we can be civil about it. It's those people, those groups of these sides, whether it's Antifa, Proud Boys, whoever it is, you're just kind of like, I'm curious. I mean, I wish I could talk. I mean, I want to understand where the breakdown of their brain is, where they do what they do. That's what fascinates me.
You mean the either side, the misinformation?
Right. That one person, yeah. Right. The people we're talking about, like, what motivates them to think what they do? Because you and I have this conversation now, doing what we do with work and radio, all that stuff. But what those people do, they're planning to bring a guillotine or break into a building or tear down a statue or firebomb a judge's house.
Like, take a shit in Nancy Pelosi's office.
Right. And so you're just kind of like, why do they think that way? Why do we think? It's very human nature right now is, it's 100 years. This case study will just.
Yeah. It'll be fascinating. Nope. You touched on social media. J.M. Guarnieri is our guest, former Secret Service agent to Barack Obama. He's now a security specialist. He's the host of Spear Talk, the podcast, which you can get at deanblundell.com. He's a great guy. You talk about censoring the right. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with people over the past few days about the freedom of speech. You know, they're censoring our freedom of speech. Whether you're conservative or liberal, there are a lot of people out there that seem to think what Twitter did in deplatforming and all these other social media companies deplatforming Donald Trump, QAnon, people who are hard right and espousing those views online, you know, very fucking different to me. And I'm a big advocate of free speech and I hate censorship. I hate it. I think we should be allowed to swear on the radio. I think we should be allowed to exchange ideas in a free marketplace. That's not exchanging ideas. Those aren't different opinions in my guesstimation. Those are people who have been fed lies and have been radicalized by those lies based on the big lie, which is the election was stolen. And so, you know, fomenting all of the issues that Trump has espoused and the far right has espoused over the past few years. That's why we're here. And so you look at social media, you go, well, why do you take those people off? It's freedom of speech. It isn't. It's not freedom of speech. It never has been about freedom of speech. The second that you go and sign up for a social media account or to use an app, there's a little box you have to check that says, do you accept our terms and conditions? Our terms and conditions say, everybody everybody, no matter who the fuck you are, if you sign up for this and we don't like what you have to say, we will take it off because we don't want to be legally responsible for what happens according to what you said. Or if you say something, we don't want to be responsible for the comeuppance of what you put on our platform. So it's, right. It's not about freedom of speech. It's about terms of service, which people don't seem to fucking get, but they weaponize that as the freedom of speech. So how I look at it is this. I think we should be censoring people, especially hate speech. I think we should be taking violence off of social media and the glorification of it. Gathering 100%. People in communities through hate and disinformation to be able to drive a narrative. If it's not fucking factual, like I grew up in a time, as you probably did too, to a lesser extent. If you printed a lie in a newspaper article, you got sued. So you couldn't lie. You had to be truthful. You had to tell the truth. And if you don't tell the truth, you get in trouble. But there's been no recourse because social media has been largely protected by Section 230, which says whatever those people do here legally has nothing to do with us. So that's how they've gotten out of actually moderating those platforms over the past several years. And that's a problem. That's where we're at. If you want to talk about the facts, not freedom of speech and a lack thereof, this has nothing to do with freedom of speech. It's got something to do with cracking down on the freedom of hate speech.
Right. And I think a couple of years ago, Denzel Washington on the press circuit for his movie Fences, he's talking about media and different stuff. And he said, the problem with media is right now, it's a race to be first and not be right.
Mm.
And so I always resonate with that because I'm like, it's fucking Denzel, but it's like, you just said it too. It's like, there's no, get this crap out, get it out. I don't care who you are, get it out. We're going to get out there, get the story going. It's like, do some research and find out what you're doing. And part of the, I think the reason why people are upset with Trump being deplatformed and is that I could go on Twitter right now and go on the other side of it and look at Maxine Waters or AOC or celebrities like Madonna or Kathy Griffin. They called for the head of the president, or we're going to march to the city capitol and we're going to break in. Little tweets you go on there right now, they're still up. And I think that's why people are disenfranchised with, if you want to get rid of hate speech and violence, and man, I would die for that. I served to protect that part of the costume. Like, there's no place for it, but make sure it's equal.
Mm-hmm.
That's for me. That's why I get so fired up. It's like, if you want to take down this stuff or fact check, well, hell, me and Dean want to talk about aliens. Who's going to fact check us? Cause half the country thinks we're crazy. So that's why you're kind of like, how do you can't, the fact checking is very, it's very interesting. And again, if you want to share memes and not you, but anyone wants to share memes or just funny stuff, like, I'm okay with it, but don't call for the head of people. Don't tell you to march at someone's house or throw a brick or a ball top. Just end the violence. That's what just infuriates me, because it's just so stupid.
But do you not place blame for, and I'm just talking about the insurrection, because he was impeached yesterday based on the insurrection. He was impeached with incite. Donald Trump was impeached last night by a large margin with Republicans coming across, the ones who had some scrote, and said, yeah, this guy fucking threatened the lives of all of us. And he tried to take out the entire line of succession. Not a fucking good look. Right. And so when you see everybody getting together now to try to kind of, you know, fucking put their arms around misinformation and hate and Trumpism, it's a cult. How do you talk to, because you've got friends, you and I both have friends. I was with some friends the other day. It was ridiculous. I had a socially distanced coffee with good friends of mine, nice people. And I was so fucking disappointed because one of them said, ran in the room, was like, hey, did you hear the Pope got arrested for pedophilia? And I'm like, oh my fucking God, are you serious right now? I just saw him deliver a prayer about the Capitol victims 5 minutes ago from his balcony at the Vatican. That didn't happen.
That's CGI.
But and that's what I find that I fight on a daily basis when it comes to people who disagree with my sentiments, which are fact-based, science-based, and let's ask some questions.
I agree with you on 100% on that stuff. I'm all about facts. And again, conspiracy theories are just that. Interesting rabbit holes. You can't sleep at night. Sure, Bigfoot got killed by JFK. Whatever. Just have fun with it. But people now with social media have that voice to gather these people up and get them all fired up. And it's
like, why do you have friends that think the election was still stolen? Do you have friends that think the election was rigged?
Yeah. Or do, not, do, I'm not do you listen to them? I'm going to say that they think there was fraud involved. And it, yeah, I mean, I listen to them because I know my friends, and I say some stuff that people are like, what are you talking about? But that's just me and it's my thoughts. But I know my friends aren't the same ones that are going to go to the Capitol and protest, or they're going to be in their homes having coffee, social distance, like you and your friends were talking about it. That stuff doesn't bother me because they're my friends or family. And
but has anybody just changed their minds?
No, I mean, I don't, honestly, I think the problem is, I think this stuff is always, these type of people, the thought process is always there with the conspiracies and disinformation, but because of COVID, everyone pent up for the last year or so, it just exacerbated this, they do this fucking motherfuck to anyone telling them they have to wear a face mask and can't leave their house, and they latch on to these theories and QAnon stuff. They're kind of like, yeah, this is going to get us out. No more COVID, no more pandemic, no more new world order. We're going to go to the gold standard and all this stuff. You're kind of like, I get why people are mad. I get why people are upset and frustrated. Ontario,
what side?
Lockdown again.
Oh, you mean you're talking about in general? You're talking about you get why society is pissed off. Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I'm enjoying this.
you don't know why someone could be upset because the pandemic affects everyone, but you can't love one or go to a loved one's funeral, or you can't see your girlfriend, or you can't travel, or you lost your job because it got shut down because of COVID. It's like mentally and physically, you don't know where some people are at. So I give them the benefit of the doubt that they're latching on to an idea to give them hope. But the minute that hope leads you to break into a Capitol building or cause violence or loot and steal, like I've lost empathy and support for you.
Right. Right. J.M. Guarnieri is our guest again, former Secret Service agent to Barack Obama. The United States served his country with pride and dignity for 7 strong years. He's also the host of the Spirit Talk podcast, which you can get here at deanblundell.com, wherever you get your fine podcasts again. One of the things that you talk about all the time are aliens. I know you had Dr. Stephen Greer on your show a couple of times. He's like one of the world's foremost.
I've got a guest coming that's going to blow your mind. I won't tell you now, but
you always do that, and then you tell me. So why don't you just tell me now?
It's a secret.
But the Pentagon is going to disband a once covert program to investigate unidentified flying objects as part of the Trump administration's final tally. They put out this thing's like, oh yeah, plus we're going to release a whole bunch of information on UFOs. But apparently for over a decade, the program, which was inside the Office of Naval Intelligence, discussed mysterious events and classified briefings. They got tapes and videos and documents, and they're going to reveal a portion of those. What do you know about that? I know you had Dr. Greer on your show. He spoke about it. Go and watch it if you haven't, because the guy's incredible. He's a great story about Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 in that podcast as well. But I don't think you're crazy. I think I'm crazy for tending to believe that something is going to happen in the next 6 months. Like, we're going to find out information that's going to blow our fucking minds.
I think as a human race, we're ignorant to think we're the only people in our galaxy or solar system, however you want to think.
Yeah.
And I think once you kind of cross that hurdle, you're like, okay, then what could it be? What could be these UFOs and this crazy stuff? It's very fascinating. Dr. Greer is a good friend, like, just awesome. And a lot of people don't like him because they think, well, he's a sellout. He's just a shill. He's more disinformation. He's partly with the government, like, he's trying to get people away. It's just like, it's okay to think differently of someone with science and fact. Like, just, and so I've got a ton of messages from people almost every day where, like, either I love this guy or fuck this guy. And I'm just, and I don't know why I take it to heart. Maybe because it's my friend, or someone's shit talking to you, I'd get upset too. I'm like, you don't know Deed. And so that part of me, it resonates with me.
It's the Secret Service agent in you. You're like, who's that fucking guy at my door?
Right. Yeah. Come on in with your aliens. I'll shoot everyone you in the face. And so you're kind of, and it's like, he's such a good guy. And I went back and listened to it again. And we talked about some stuff all the time off the record. And what drew me into the bring him on there was that, remember, I think it was, what is it, this summer where the Pentagon released a bunch of files, the heat of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're watching Joe Rogan too or watch his stuff, but he had a bit part of one of the episodes where it's like, only in 2020 would the Pentagon release UFO files that no one's talking about because we're in the middle of a pandemic. And so my question to Greer was like, is this stuff coming out on purpose at these times where people aren't really thinking about UFOs? No, it's crazy because people are preoccupied. Right.
Yeah.
It's a very weird, I don't know, it's fascinating. I mean, you've seen some stuff come out now from military people with sworn affidavits.
What does Greer say to expect in 180 days? Like, what's the kind of the general thinking about this? Because Marco Rubio, make fun of his ears and his height all you want. He was like, listen, I know what's behind that wall, and we don't want to show the Russians or the Chinese. And I'm like, I'm reading that in the fucking New York Times. Like, it's so like, what does he expect? What are we to see, do you think?
Well, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think there's a fear that the weapons and technology from these other, wherever you want to call them, could get in the wrong hands. And he's a big proponent of the aliens or UFO, whoever they are. If they're in constant contact with us, they're not bad. They want to learn just like we want to explore with Mars, with Elon Musk. We want to go back to the moon, and we want to explore just like they're exploring. And they have their capabilities to do so are a much greater level than ours, obviously. So if certain videos or technology or Greer just had that guy that recovered a UFO in the ocean. And you're kind of like, what technology or what information do we have that if it does get out that other countries or government entities can get their hands on? Mm-hmm. So he doesn't forgive me
because this whole discussion seems very crazy, you know, and I'm enjoying having it with you because I've over the past couple of years, I've kind of arrived at, there's got to be something else out there. I mean, there's billions of these fucking planets and exoplanets out there. We're not alone. And I don't know what it looks like. And I'm agnostic too. So, you know, it's spiritually agnostic, but agnostic. So I'm like, I don't claim to know what it is. And all the information and the superseding information podcast with Dr. Greer and stuff, I listen to it with one ear open and one ear closed because it's so foreign to me. Like the idea that this actually might be true and we might have alien technology in North America or in the United States, that's a weapon. You know, I find that fucking fascinating. I'm sorry. I do.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And then you have the creation of the Space Force.
Original stuff there too, by the way, with the logo.
Yeah, I'm into it. I actually have. I'm gonna get the flag and the patch.
Yeah, just buy an old Star Trek uniform. You look exact same.
What's interesting is that I have a lot of friends in NASA, and every time I go to Houston, I go to Mission Control and I get to talk with people and see their technology there. And every time when I go visit there or when I visit my friends at CERN, I don't know if you know what CERN is.
I don't.
It's go down that rabbit hole. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Go look at CERN. CERN.
No, you tell me what it is now. Tell me what it is real quick, and then I'll go down the rabbit hole.
People basically say they create antimatter and black holes and stuff like that. Like
is that the one in Switzerland that were they're creating? Yes, okay. Yes. I know what it is. Yep.
All right. So when I go to these places that like people know, I'm like, what do you think of UFOs? I'm asking the questions you and I are talking about. They kind of look at you like you're crazy. So what I want to find out is what some of my friends retire from NASA. But hey, can we just talk about like, why is there, if it's Bob Lazar, or Dr. Greer, people like that, they're predominant in the UFO.
People don't know who Bob Lazar is. He claims to, and has his life destroyed since he's admitted to working on alien technology. Yeah.
Yeah. He'd be a good spirit talk.
Yeah. He'd be a great spirit talk.
So you're kind of like, where is the disconnect where alien or UFOologists and stuff like that, where people go, well, how come NASA or these other government groups are just like, what are you talking about? Like, no, that doesn't exist. You can't, there's no such thing as hyper warp speed. You can't, like, why? Like, it's just, it makes you wonder, like, a lot of the space shuttle people that they're in space and space station stuff, I mean, they're sworn to not talk about what they've seen. And I'm curious what is actually happening or what has happened, right? Because it's just like,
yeah, but when you were with Obama doing Secret Service, did because there was a great what was it? Who replaced Letterman? What, Steve Colbert? Stephen Colbert, yeah, did a great interview with Obama, and one of the just a flippant off the cuff question he asked him was like, "Are there aliens?" He's like, "I can't talk about that." And I'm like, "Come on, that's fucking." You know, and I think Obama's rooted in fact. He seems to be, but he would know. He was the fucking president of the United States for 8 years, and you were his bodyguard. Did you happen to go with him to certain places? Did you see anything? Did you hear? Are you allowed to talk about any of that
stuff? Yeah, I mean, you can't really talk about certain stuff, but I mean, you can't. Part of the fun is
that why you're so interested? Did you see some shit and go, oh my fucking God?
Well, I've always loved like Aliens or Predator or Close Encounters and Fire in the Sky. That's a great book too, if you should read it, the true story of that. But
I've read Fire in the Sky, but the guys that get picked up in the pickup truck. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. That guy, the guy that they got picked up, actually started doing press again. So I want to reach out to him. But I think it's very tongue in cheek where everyone wants to know about aliens in Area 51 and stuff like that. And the easy answer is always, I can't talk about it. And you can't talk about it. But I mean,
I'm an intuitive person. I like to put things together. I like to put pieces together. If you're not willing to talk about it and you're on this glorious search for what the fuck is going on, I'm going to say you probably know more than the average human being.
Yeah, I mean, you talk to you could say it that way, I guess.
You're fucking great at sidestepping this stuff, by the way.
Have you? I mean, it's just.
Yeah. Have you ever seen it? Go ahead. Have you?
No. It's, you're kind of like. I'm just trying to phrase this in my head because I don't know if I'm going to say it right. I think the idea that there is this unknown out there is very inspiring to people to get into space or learn about science and the what's going on, like the big picture. And I my hope is that if stuff does come out 180 days, that love of questioning and learning doesn't go away just because something gets released 180 days, if that makes sense.
And it doesn't turn into fear.
Right. Because I think that's the big issue is people are too afraid to hear about this shit. Well, right. No, we're not. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic with people storming capitals, and the aliens aren't going to bother me unless they show up like Mars attacks and start blowing people's heads off. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of, I don't know. I think I do think the 180 days, you'll see some stuff. You're kind of like, because everyone's always like, why is that picture of Bigfoot so great here? Why is that UFO always at night with on a pinhole camera or a fucking twist the knob after you take a flash?
Infrared.
Right. I do think you're going to see stuff. You're like, well, what is that? Now you could be like, I understand why that declassified that as a UFO, because you don't know what that is.
What do you think some of those things are? You mentioned alien weaponry might be one of them, according to your conversations.
I would think technology. I would assume either a spacecraft or, say, pieces of like a satellite that we would not have put up there. Mm-hmm. And then the question would be, if it wasn't us, could it be the Russians or the Chinese or anyone else? But there's so much politics with the space station and the race to space. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, maybe there is another country put other satellites up there. Maybe it's another.
Yeah, because you go through the gamut of, if you're like me, I go through the gamut of possibilities. And then I take one off the list, or I take another one off the list. Right. And so for sure, that's going to be part of it. Or people are going to say, no, it's this or this. But irrefutable proof, going back to our conversation about radicalization, right? To have irrefutable proof of something, that's a starting point for knowledge. That's a starting point for us to try to understand what these things are. I just can't help but think that no matter what we find out, you're going to have a whole bunch of people put their arms up and that have been looking for this information for a long time, that's been subverted for such a long time, that go, why the fuck didn't anybody, like, why have you been hiding this from us? And what's the concerted effort? And then I read another thing the other day about this former Israeli cabinet member.
Yeah.
Who said, yes, aliens are here. There's a galactic federation of them. We have an agreement with them. All the governments of the world are working together to keep, you know, these aliens under wraps, but it's going, it's like Men in Black.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. It's, you kind of, again, I do think you're not gonna, you'll see video footage, you'll see pictures, you'll see affidavits and actual testimony from members of the military or people that aren't some ma-pa in Eastern Kentucky. You'll see people that are, you'll be see rank and file, be like, oh, well, this is
people with a
lieutenant for the Air Force. Right, yeah. This is a lieutenant of the Air Force, served 30 years. Like, this guy's not full of shit. And here's the other thing, too.
But are they going to be pictures of stuff, or are we going to see things? Like, are we going to see a body? Because I wouldn't mind seeing an alien. Everybody wants to see a real alien.
Yeah,
I mean, like I watched the movie Paul with Simon Pegg the other day, and I'm like, I would love to see that. I would love to see if fucking an alien being. I was like, here you go. His name's Jim. We called him Jim. We can't say his real name, but he's got the power to move things with his mind, and he has an enormously long pecker. Like, that's the kind of stuff I want to see.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see that. I don't know what's going to be declassified. I think it'll be videos, pictures, and written sworn testimony. But I don't know what... Will Area 51 ever become a museum and we can walk around? No, it'll never happen. And the other thing, too, just because it's a UFO doesn't mean it's alien. I think everyone assumes UFOs are alien-based. Well, an unidentified flying object could be a satellite or something you don't know, you can't identify. You and I could look at a plane in the sky and be like, oh, that's a Delta 737, if you're close enough. These Air Force guys would know more about that stuff than us. Maybe they see something, they don't know what it is or stuff like that. Again, I mean, I want the aliens to be out. I think it'd be badass.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I think it'd be awesome to find out that we're not alone, right? A lot of people, I think it fucking freaks them out. Like, it scares people to think that there's a race or a society of things or people that might be more powerful than us. And I think that that's the key, right? Like, we just want to know that we're more powerful than anybody coming to this.
Right. And I always joke with Greer. I'm like, what if the aliens are watching us deal with this pandemic? They have the cure. How come they don't give us a cure? Or what if they're dealing with this too? And they're looking at how we're dealing with this virus, this COVID-19. What if they have it on their planet? So it's just like, a lot of it might seem far-fetched, but those are honest questions. If and I tend to believe that there are, you're foolish to not think there's something out there in the world off Earth that these people or things or whatever can have the same conversation about us, questioning if we exist. Mm-hmm. And so I think once you get to that level of thinking, you can kind of be like, oh, maybe I can't explain it. I don't know what it was. I do think a lot of people that they jump on the bandwagon, oh, I saw a UFO or Bigfoot, or obviously you'll always have that, but there is some crazy stuff out there. You're kind of like, man, I don't know what that is. That it kind of gives you chills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I actually traveled to Transylvania or Romania 2 years ago after a Nickelback tour with some guys from the crew. Because we saw a Ghost Hunters episode of the Hoya Bacchui Forest in Romania, which is like famous for UFO sightings coming down and bending trees, like these weird orbs and stuff. We went there to tour of a guy that was there, and one of the things, he's like, so why'd you come here? I go, well, we're big into like the supernatural, we love Ghost Hunters, but we love UFO stuff, and this Hoya Bacchui Forest supposedly has a lot of sightings from people in the area. And he's talking, he's just very enthralled by the idea of, yeah, there's been insane cases here. There's people with videos and people pulling off their cars, taking pictures. And
I'm pretty sure that's where one of the monoliths showed up, right in front of that forest by some ruins in Romania.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was like, ah, fuck, they're doing it over there. And those monoliths must have really sent the UFO community for a loop, huh?
Yeah, and I do tend to think that that's a lot of disinformation too, just to kind of take away from what the stuff that could be coming out. Because everyone's just like, It could be two art guys from fucking Arizona State.
Yeah.
Or it could be UFOs, but let's put it out there.
There was one made out of gingerbread in San Francisco that I'm pretty sure wasn't made by aliens. Like, probably sure. It's probably made by a baker.
Yeah, it's got like a little cannoli roof on top, like a little antenna.
Yeah, had a little cannoli roof, had really nice little door handles made out of mini mushrooms or marshmallows. It was cute. But my point is that I don't believe any of that. That's the thing, right? Like, you know, you go to what you believe and what you don't believe. And I'm like hard on facts. Give me some facts. Give me something I can look at. I'll draw my own conclusions based on facts. So to this point, I still can't say aliens exist. But unlike you, I haven't sworn an oath to my country, right? So I'm still looking for information, and I'm open to the information. I'm not one of the hard asses out there that's like, fuck that, doesn't exist. Like evangelicals cannot stomach the idea that there's could be an alien race somewhere. They can't fucking deal with it because they just believe one thing in the Bible, and that's God created the heavens and the earth and you and me and Adam's rib and all that other shit. And so that's who I'm excited. I'm excited to watch their reaction. There's some schadenfreude in this UFO file being uncovered coming up too. All the evangelicals going, oh, fuck, what do we believe now?
Right. Those are Thomas is full of shit.
Yeah, Jesus was whack, man. But yeah, it is. It's so big to me, like the idea that we're actually going to see some stuff. And like you, you know, and of course, you know, you mentioned Joe Rogan. I don't listen to him, but to say that, you know, imagine the fact that this comes out during the height of a pandemic and in the middle of civil unrest like we've never seen before.
Right.
Now's the time to be putting that shit out. Same with JFK. Who killed him? I want to find that out soon, too.
Right. Unless yeah. You know. Or Bigfoot or anything. Yeah, JFK, that's a whole other rabbit hole.
Do you think Bigfoot's real? You think Bigfoot exists?
Well, I have a ridiculous. I have a probably the top Bigfoot cryptoid specialist coming on Spirit Talk. And I've always growing up, I remember Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
And like you, I'm always just like, what if it's a mangy ape or gorilla or a certain fish or eel? But when it comes to Bigfoot, like, okay, what if it's a gorilla ape? Well, then you research what types of apes in this area. Well, there's none. Could an ape from this area survive this area? Well, not possible. So you're kind of like, what could it be? I mean, we've all seen that famous Bigfoot picture of him walking behind the logs. Woods? Yeah.
And I've seen the blurry one you're talking about.
Yeah.
What if, and people are like, that's fake because he's blurry. What if he was just blurry? What if he was going so fucking fast that the aperture just couldn't deal, right?
Right. It's fascinating. I'm blown away by people that, I mean, there's so many stuff out there. Like it's the Chupacabra in Texas, or you guys have a Canadian thing at the lock, the river, right?
Don't you have? No, it's called Ogopogo.
Ogopogo. Yeah.
Now, interesting. Now I have an Ogopogo story, a very personal Ogopogo story. My grandmother lives in Vernon, British Columbia, which is between Vernon and Salmon Arm is the Okanagan Lake, which is where Ogopogo resides. I'm 17 at the time with my dad, my mom in a car, very evangelical parents. I'm a free thinker. I'm kind of open to whatever. So we're driving on the side of the mountain because Vernon and the Okanagan, the lake is in the middle of the mountains. It's in the middle of where the mountains begin and the head into the lower mainland. And then you get all the rest of the mountains when you get down to, Abbotsford, British Columbia, Vancouver, that kind of stuff. So we're driving along the side of the mountain and my dad stops the car and he screams, look. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is my dad, who's the biggest realist on the planet. Super realist. And we look and there's this thing, 4, 5, 6 humps, maybe, I don't know, going like this through the water, just gliding through the water.
Oh.
Still have no idea what it is. If someone said to me, Dean, did you see Ogopogo? I'm like, I don't fucking know. I know I saw something going like this through the water and it was enormous. That's all I saw. And so for anybody to tell me that I didn't see it or that I'm crazy, I don't really care. I don't have an ego when it comes to the supernatural. I'm like, whatever. I get why you say that, but I know what I fucking saw. So it's not that I, and it doesn't make me believe in Bigfoot anymore either. It doesn't make me believe in UFOs anymore. It doesn't make me believe in the Loch Ness Monster or the abominable fucking snowman. I just know exactly what I saw, and that was what I saw. Can I explain it? No. Does it fit with the myth of the Ogopogo? Yeah, for sure it does. And I know what I saw.
Yeah, I just like people that really give their life to studying whether something exists. You know, I'm just fascinated by it. But question for you, though, if you could, what do you think Q, the head person, looks like? What do you think they're dressed like? What do you...
QAnon?
Yeah, like the head
Are
Q.
You talking about Jim Watkins? The is pig that farmer? Yeah, Jim Watkins is a pig farmer who lives in the Philippines, and his son lives in Japan. His name's Ron Watkins. Jim didn't have a Twitter account. Ron did up until a few days ago. The Twitter account was at CodeMonkeyZ, was the name of his actual Twitter handle. Jim Watkins is a pig farmer who owns and runs 8chan and 8kun, along with his son. These are facts. Jim has been charged with distribution of child pornography.
When did this come out? I had no idea about this.
It's been out for about a month, month and a half. All of it is Googleable from legitimate news sources.
Right.
Ron Watkins, they believe, has like a pipeline to the president. He's been feeding the president information that he needs about Dominion machines, which is why you've seen him go sideways about these voting machines and stuff. But legitimately, the guys who started Q, who moderate Q, who keep Q alive with their nonsense and their bullshit lying posts about, you know, pedophiles and pizza joints, are a father-son pig farmer duo named Jim and Ron Watkins. And I know exactly what they look like. Jim Watkins, in fact, I can actually get I can show you what they look like if you like.
I had no idea.
You didn't know any of this stuff?
Well, I heard, here's the thing too. With go back to disinformation, I don't know what to believe when I hear see those names. I don't know what they look like. I've heard the names. I've heard about the arrest, but I never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jim and Ron Watkins, the people behind QAnon. So there's Jim. Can you see?
Ron. I see him.
Yeah, there's Ron. There's Ron right there. Good looking. There's Jim. That's his dad. If you wondered what he looks like, that's exactly what he looks like. He looks like an overweight, challenged pig farmer who owns a whole bunch of questionable websites and whose browser should be checked immediately.
So I wonder what did he say? What was his reason for starting it?
That's his son, Ron Watkins, who currently lives in Japan because he's in hiding from authorities in the Philippines. Did I say why he started? No, he was originally this guy's partner, this fellow who started 8chan. And this guy here got really sick and tired of all the hate and the violence and the white supremacy. So he's like, fuck this, I'm out. And then Jimmy Watkins, sweet Jimmy Watkins, took the whole thing over. And now he is the purveyor of all things Q, along with his douchebag son who likens himself to some kind of hero. Which he's not. He's just a piece of shit.
Jesus, what a man! I gotta start looking at that stuff again.
The men behind. See, listen, I'm no genius, but I can say this: I will never ever have a conversation with someone about something unless I know something about it. That's fact based. That's who Q is, and so because they live in different countries, there's really no way you can get a hold of these guys, right? Like I followed that Ron Watkins guy. Posted pictures of these guys on Twitter just so people knew what they looked like. And then all of a sudden when the Twitter purge happened, Ron was gone, as were several other Q accounts that I would follow just because I wanted to hear what they were saying. I didn't believe it and I wasn't mad about it. I just couldn't believe how fucking dumb these guys were. So if anybody out there because in my mind, that's where this whole thing stops, right? It all stops. Q stops. Trumpism stops. Misinformation stops. When we go after the people in the institutions that make it a priority. And you go after that pig farmer and his douche lord son, it stops. You go after big tech and you tell social media to have one set of rules for fucking everybody and just make those rules count Don't threaten people. Fucking do what you're supposed to do. It's the same thing with COVID, right? That's a big problem that we have now, is that there's no, when the rubber meets the road, there's no fucking rubber. No one's willing to actually say, okay, those natural consequences, let's fucking institute all of those right now.
Right. If there's rules or regulations, drop the hammer when someone breaks it. I agree 100%.
Yeah. Do you have kids?
I do not, no.
Okay. I have kids, and my kids are great. All the work that I did with my kids was when they were younger, and it was about natural consequences. And people would get mad at me when my kid would go, don't go touch something. I say, don't touch that because it's going to hurt. Then they would touch it and get hurt. And they go, why didn't you go grab him? I'm like, he's got to fucking learn. Right. What happens in life is we put parameters in front of people and then we say, okay, well, this is how you're supposed to operate. That's why we're here, is because everybody's trying to push those parameters out and say, we can't operate like you're telling us to operate. So, okay, you go operate and you find out those consequences. That's why COVID has me at home and all of us at home under a stay-at-home order here in Ontario. That's why people are dying. People are dying because they're not willing to actually look at what the problem is and then educate themselves as to what their course of action is. And so we're paying these natural consequences. And it's not unlike, you know, when you're in a classroom with a whole bunch of people and you're a good kid and there's like 20 other good kids, but there's two total assholes at the back of the class and you get a detention, but the whole class has to pay for it. That's sort of where we're at as society, is like, we're all being held hostage by a couple of just cunts that don't give a fuck about the truth, that don't care about their neighbors, that don't care about fact. They just want to drive their narrative because it feeds their ego. That's why I think we're here.
No, we are at the threshold of hell.
And I love it. It's fucking great for content, JM.
It's great. Keep it going, baby.
J.M. Guarnieri, he is our security specialist, host of Spear Talk, which is a terrific podcast, security podcast. It talks about a whole bunch of different things, too. You get into some really cool areas, and I'm really thankful that I could lean on your expertise this morning, talk about you and your podcast. Watch for Flash Gordon on the next one. Really excited for that. And go and follow him at Spear Talk on Twitter or wherever you get your fine podcasts. Where can people get a hold of you and where would you send them to get your podcast?
On Instagram, I'm at John Silver Spear and at Silver or Spear Talk Podcast on Instagram. Twitter is Jesus.
Spear Talk.
Yes, at Spear Talk. Something on Twitter, and then I think of John Silver Spear, Silver Spear 44.
Traditionally, people know this stuff before they go on the air, right?
Well, I just don't. I mean, I understand social media is a very necessary evil, especially in what we do. But I don't. I still have to, when people ask me, "What's your cell phone number?" I'm like, "Okay, yeah,
I don't know." Right. At Silver Spear 44 on Twitter,
yeah,
is where you can go and find him. Also, probably.
I got a website coming for it. SpearTalkPodcast.com will be coming, and then everything will be linked up to there. One stop shop. I'm going to start launching merch, like hats and coffee mugs. But yeah, no, everything's going
What are you
great
doing for now. The mugs? Are you going to get like a good mug? Get a good mug. Don't get a shitty mug. Like, don't get a run of the mill white mug. Get like a cool kind of camping, but thick sort of.
Yeah, I've always been about quality over quantity, and I would rather pay more. If I'm buying it, I'd rather pay for a mug that's badass, or I could use it if I'm in a diner to smash someone's face if I need to.
It's your mug. You should be able to take the handle off and turn it
right.
into
it
a
just,
rock.
Yeah, brass knuckles. It just starts slapping people.
Dual purpose mugs. Yeah, that's a good
idea.
But
I want to thank you, Dean, for everything you do and your podcast and everything you do. I know Brett on tour, he's got his new Java, and Joe with the Nerd Podcast, the Fucked Up Podcast. So it's really cool to be part of something that's like, there's so much going on. And it's funny when you guys started doing like the sports betting stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not into that. My cousins and I will do like the
Owner's Box,
right? So I watch Owner's Box, but my cousins and I will do like FanDuel, just fuck around on the weekend or during playoffs, stupid bets. But I'm very fascinated by like understanding like where the lines are and like how stuff is bet. Right. It's just like, well, how is that guy's right? It's just, it's very fascinating, and it's stuff I had no idea about, but it's the only place I go to actually hear people have fun with it, but you also learn.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. And we're family. We appreciate you, part of the DeanBlundell.com podcast network. John Guarnieri, host of Spear Talk. Go and download the podcast and subscribe today. Thanks, buddy. It's awesome to see you. You stay safe.
Awesome. Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Awesome. All later, right, Q.
Later, John. Later, Jim Watkins.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Later.
All right, there you go. That's J.M. Guarnieri. He is the host of Spear Talk. It is a podcast, and it is a very, very good one. We appreciate him being here with us today. Don't forget, what we want you to do is sign up for our newsletter at DeanBlundell.com. We'll send you everything you need there, including these podcasts. And I want to thank our sponsors, including Ed's Fine Imports and his Gitch, the best Gitch on the planet. If you order three, you'll get the fourth one for free by using promo code GITCH3. Boxer briefs, super comfortable, breathable, and they got a pouch in the front for your junk. Gitch, like a sleeping bag for your nutsack. Order them today from edsfineimports.com. Gitch3 is your promo code. Our friends over at Owner's Box as well, number one weekly fantasy app on the planet. Go there now. Sign up online. They're giving away PS5s, multiple entries when you refer a friend as well. They'll give you a brand new PS5 when you sign up. They're going to be picking those winners over the next couple of weeks. So the only way you can get involved to get an impossible to get PS5 is by going to ownersbox.com, signing up for your free account today. So go and do that. Thanks to our friends over at Blue Microphones. I use the Eddie X. You can too. Super simple. Go to Blue Microphones and get your stuff today. Podcast, broadcast. We're locked in for a while, so you might as well get some equipment to make yourself sound and look the best you can. Blue Microphones. Thanks, everybody, for listening and watching. Stay safe. Search for the truth. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.